Thank you, Mrs. Burt. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and go to Jeremiah chapter number 8. Jeremiah, Old Testament book this morning. Thankful for all the singing. What a blessing it's been. I don't know that I mentioned during prayer time that Brother Perkins had to go and he's not feeling well. I think his sugar got out of balance, and so pray for him if you would, and I'll do that before we begin to preach this morning. Jeremiah chapter 8 in your Bibles, your King James Bibles. I hear the pages turning. Amen. Thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you, men. So much of our staff, many of them, maybe they'll listen to the radio if they're serving in one of the other places. But thanks to the staff, they've gone above and beyond this week and stuck it out with me as we worked. And they, when I got back, the preacher got to get out of being in the attic for 2 days. I was scheduled to preach somewhere else up in northern Florida early in the week, so I wasn't in the attic with them, but I came in and stuck it out with them late. Thank you, men. We don't have the air condition done yet, but it is all here. That was a huge accomplishment by itself. And so that got here, and now we've got it, I don't want to say half installed, maybe three quarters. Now we just got to finish it up. So pray for us as we try to finish that up. You know how it works. As soon as we get it all hooked up, it'll get cool. Amen. That's the way it works, right? Amen. Then we won't need it as much as we did when we didn't have it. So, but I do thank you for praying. It has been a blessing to have the men. Thank you, men. There are other men from our church. A couple, two or three of you men came in and really have jumped in with us and helped us so much. So thank you as well. I won't go through naming you all. And I'll let you get some heavenly blessings for what you did instead of me naming you off right in here. Today, I want to preach a message for the tape room. Those of you guys... digital room, whatever we call it now, amen. Spiritual health will be the title of the message today in Jeremiah chapter number 8. We're going to pray like I said I would before we begin, and we'll pray for Brother Perkins. If you would pray there as I pray here, that God would do a work this morning, amen, through his word. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I thank you for, again, just the opportunity to stand and preach your word. Lord, I pray you'd help me now. Holy Spirit of God, I pray you'd do a work that I can't do. You'd go into the hearts of the hearers, Lord, that you would just go into them. And Lord, you'd do a work that those that need to be saved, you would draw them to yourself. Those that need to join your church, Lord, and become a part of this fellowship, I pray they'd step out when the time comes and they join those that need to be baptized. Lord, they've been saved, but they've never been scripturally baptized. That today would be that day that they surrender to the first step of obedience in your word. Lord, I pray that whatever needs to be done today, that you impress upon the hearts, Lord, I pray that you would help. There may be somebody here who's saved but needs to be reclaimed. They need to repent and turn to you and come back home. I pray, God, you'd do that. Now I pray for Brother Perkins, Lord. I know that that his sugar got out of balance, he feels. Lord, I pray you'd heal him and touch him right now. Help him to feel better because of you touching and giving him a touch this morning. I pray from your word, Lord. I pray keep my mind condensed, Lord. I pray you'd use me as your messenger boy to preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jeremiah chapter number 8, we'll begin reading here close to verse number 20. I think we're going to go back. It's a familiar passage of Scripture, but I want to set the background for you, or the primary use of the Scripture here. Primarily, it's Jeremiah. He's the weeping prophet. They've been besieged. That just means attacked or surrounded by Nebuchadnezzar's army. By this time we get in the Scripture, it's probably been close to almost 2 years. He's going to set a time frame for the people, because any time that you have been surrounded, you're being attacked, they're not going to let you go out and plant all the fields. So mostly what they're trying to live on and trying to grow has to be inside the walls of the city. He's going to make a statement that for us defines a time frame, but for many of us, we got to understand that, because again, things grow in seasons, and they don't always, over in the Bible lands, you know, grow in the same seasons they do here in Florida. Sometimes we're so bad about thinking about everything like it happens just like it does here, that everything grows in seasons, but everybody's season aren't exactly like our season. I mean, we only have two seasons here. And the Bible says that, you know, there are places in the world where there are four complete seasons. I know, we're all amazed. Amen, right? There are even, I know one of the young ladies in our Christian school, she desired to see this white stuff they call snow. I don't understand why she wanted to go see it. It's really not that amazing. If you've had to shovel it for any period of time, you know you moved away from it for a reason. But there are still people who want to go see it, and it does still happen, even though it doesn't happen here. But again, here we're going to find that he is going to mention two distinct seasons, and he's going to mention them for a reason. And it's more not so much a time period, but for us, we need to realize for them, they're desperate. They've been surrounded. They've eaten everything that's come from the harvest time, and now all the summer fruits and vegetables that they could grow, that time has passed as well. And so now we're going to find a people who are hungering, but they're not hungry for the right thing. Let me just mention to you in introduction this morning, you know, so many times it wasn't that when we're talking about our spiritual health, do you know there are different times of our life when we're very aware of things that are happening? You know, we just went through a time period where everyone was very aware of their health. A lot, they called it COVID. You know what I'm talking about? The world has changed. When I sneeze now, I look to who's giving me the evil eye. You know, I mean, it was just dust, or I don't like the lady's perfume next to me. I don't have anything. But when you sneeze now, it's not the same. You know, my mom taught me to go in the elbow or cover when I sneeze. But even if you do that now, there are the people giving you the stink eye. And I mean, it was a heightened awareness, was it not? I mean, the whole world, especially at least America, started washing their hands. I mean, exciting, right? I mean, anything that would move us to a place where we wash our hands is a good thing, right? But it wasn't. I mean, it was worldwide. It was something that people very were aware of their health. But there are times in our lives where we're very aware of it. When I was young, I never dreamed that I would ever have aches and pains like I have now. You teenagers, you don't know what's coming. You just don't know. You know, when you try to run and shift gears, and it don't shift, and you're stuck in that same gear, and you sound like that truck that you drove that hung up in that gear, and you're going, and you're making noises, but it ain't going in gear. Every time I stand up, people look at me like, what has broken him? Both my knees go pop, pop. And I'm like, everything's good. They just do that. I don't know why they do that. They just do it. Every one of us have different, you know, and some of those sounds that we hear, things that go on in us, that little bit of pain ought to be a sign to us that we probably ought to check out our health. But because, I mean, again, we went through a time period where the television told us to beware of everything. But God has also had, there's natural things that God has put in us that ought to be warning signs for us to realize that we have health problems. You know, and we think, oh, I'm just getting older, or we let it go and things happen. I mean, we could go on and on about that, but we all realize that there are times that we go too far or let it go too long. You know, there's something to be said for catching it early. You know, what about the spiritual side? We're talking just physical, natural things. What about spiritual things? Sometimes there are time periods in our lives where God is trying to reach us. God is speaking to us. There are warning signs all around us. And instead of listening to that spiritual leading or knocking at our heart's door, whatever it may be that God is doing and leading and helping, instead of answering that or looking into it, we let that time period pass. And we feel like we come to this place. Do you know that God had given, and I'm trying to get back to here in Jeremiah, in their time period, God had given them a space of time to repent. God had given them the warning signs. God had given them prophets that had preached before Jeremiah's time that told them if they did not turn back, it was going to be too late. And then Jeremiah comes on the scene. And he's the weeping prophet because his message was, it is too late. It is going to happen. It's coming just like the prophet Isaiah said it was. You know, sometimes we find ourselves in a time period where the harvest is past and the summer is ended and we will reap what we've sowed. That's a natural law that crosses over into the spiritual realm as well. Look at the scripture with me. He comes to a place where he begins to, we'll begin in verse number 18. He says, "When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint within me." Jeremiah says to the people as a prophet, as he pens down under the inspiration of God, that when I would comfort myself because I know that judgment's coming and I can do nothing about it. When I would comfort myself, do you know God took care of his prophet? When Nebuchadnezzar comes in, he tells the person that takes Jeremiah captive, and he is not taken to Babylon, by the way. He says, "You care for him and give him whatever he says." He takes care of him. He watches over his prophet. His prophet has done the will. He has repented. He begged God for his people. And he's sitting there. He's broken over the people of God. He says, "My heart is faint in me. Even though I'm okay, I'm broken for my people." Do you know, listen, as Americans, we ought to come to a place. Listen, you know, I mean, we get excited about the decisions by the Supreme Court to allow it to go back to the states for abortion. But we forget how many generations of aborted babies we've been a part of. And our government is trying to supersede each state by working it out to fly them to different places and pay for it, to have the sin go on. It's not like America has repented. It's just some backboned judges stood up and said, "This isn't constitutional." It never was constitutional. Folks, I'm just telling you, he says in the next few verses, look in verse 19, "Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughters of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? When then is not the health of the daughter? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" So he begins the idea of this. He says, why is it that you're looking everywhere for a cure? Look what he says in verse. He says, "Is not the Lord in Zion? Isn't the answer right here in the midst of my people?" He goes on and says, "Is not her king in her?" I believe we live in a day and age where God's people, sometimes we get up and preach that every answer to every problem is in the Word of God, and we say amen, and we leave here on Sunday and we go home on Monday and we look to the doctor and to the pills and to everything that everybody else is looking to in the world, and we never look to the Lord God, like He doesn't have power to heal, that He doesn't have power to answer prayer, that He doesn't have a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. And the problem with America today, and many of us that are saved and sitting in the building, is a sin problem. And the reason we're sick, the reason we're like we are, is because we won't turn for healing. We realize what's ailing us, but we're not willing to turn it loose. We've come to a day and age where we think the world and us, and we like to say the world's the problem, but every time repentance, revival has ever happened, it happens at the house of God first. God's people got to get the sin out. God's people got to get right. God's people got to get back with it, and we got to turn to the living God, and then God can heal the nation. Then God can heal His people. Then God can do the work that needs to be done. But most of the time, where we would rather complain about how bad the world is rather than get in God's word and see how sinful the Christian is, to see how bad what's going on in my life. You know, our spiritual health is important. We went through a time period where everybody was checking. I mean, there were drive-through places, right? I mean, you drive through and they would ram something up as deep as they could, almost to your brain. And do this. and then pull it out. And they said, we'll tell you in about 2 weeks. Then they got it down farther, right? And then we realized it was just 50-50 shot. They were just going, okay, you got it, you don't got it. You got it, you got it, you know? You can believe what you want. I'm sure they sent it off to a lab. But the guys in the lab were going, positive, negative, positive, negative. You know it. Don't act like I'm being mean. Amen. The harvest is past. Amen. And the summer is ended. Say, come on, preacher, it's still around. Yeah, it was around before. You know, you picked up the Clorox bleach bottle and it said it killed COVID too. Amen. Not that you should drink it. Please don't leave here and do that. But the message, again, spiritual health. What I wonder if we had a spiritual drive-through in America. Do you know that that's what most churches are today? See, our nation's not the only thing in problem, but most places and most churches, what most people get is like a drive-through Happy Meal on Sunday. That is where we live. You wonder why God's people are living like that. Why God's people don't, because they don't have a church that tells them that they're sinners. They don't have a preacher with any backbone that'll get up and say things are wrong. That the word of God, listen, they drive through, I came here for my happy meal, please make me happy and send me home happy. I will come as I want to and I'll leave as I came and there'll be no change in me. I'd like to have it like Burger King. I want it the way I want it, right? And give me the crown when I head out. Yeah, we're laughing about it, but that is most of the churches today. When and where in the Bible does it say, if I think myself happy, I can be happy? Where in the Bible does it say, if I think myself healthy, I'll be healthy? Where in the Bible does it say any of those things? But you turn on the television to anybody that's a television preacher, and that's what they're preaching. They'll teach you to give to get. That's a bad, that's not in the Bible. Hey, folks, I'm just trying to be real with you today. We've got to recognize where we are as Americans. Jeremiah had come to the point, they were at a place where they weren't going to fix it all. God had already pronounced judgment, and that's what Jeremiah was there to do. Listen, I'm not the prophet of doom here today. I believe wholeheartedly if God's people will repent and seek God's face, just like it said in Isaiah, that we're not to the place where Jeremiah was, but we are in a place where the summer has ended. We've had a place where the summer has ended, and God has done a work in our young people. Why are we going to be satisfied with God having revival with our teenagers? Why aren't you hungry that God hasn't revived you yet? Why is it that it's good for the teenagers, but it's not good for you? Hey, you know what the teenagers did? Hey, you adults sitting out there, you know what the teenagers did? They put up their phones for about a month, and God met with them. You know what God would do for you if you decided to meet with him? Put your phone up for about a month, and God would meet with you. Turn off the television for about a month, and God would meet with you. You see, it sounds like Lester Roloff. I would to God Lester Roloff was here today, because he wouldn't just preach against your phone and your television. He'd take your coffee too. I mean, he'd just bust hide. He'd take your ham. Now, I mean, that's going too far. When you take the bacon off the plate, right? That's meddling. Hey, folks, but you know what we need? We need people to tell us the truth from the Word of God. We need people to tell us and remind us that just because we're saved and on our way to heaven, that heaven will be my home, that God's not finished with me yet. He still wants to work on me. He still wants to have revival in my life. He wants me to be a witness unto Jesus Christ on this side of heaven. Boy, what it would be like if we just had revival that it started with our young people this summer and the summer has ended. Instead of saying, oh, well, the summer's over and the time of revival is past. We are not saved yet. He uses the term saved, not saved of being saved going to heaven, but saved from Nebuchadnezzar, saved from the earthly trouble that they're in. And whether you believe it or not, America needs to be saved spiritually and naturally. We're on a way. Listen, we're broke. We're busted as a nation. We are going down a road that we could never come back from. And if we don't get some sense, if we're not saved from this foolishness. Amen and amen. We're not just broke. We're busted. We've got a broken mentality. Our nation is split down the middle with half of the people that want to turn everything loose. They want to put kitty litter boxes in our schools and let people say that they're kittens. Thank God for our governor. Being a free state, I'm going to stop calling us the free state and start calling ourselves the sane state. Isn't it great that we have laws now that say when a boy is a boy, we're going to call him boy names. And he's got to use the boys' bathroom at the school. And if she's a girl, then she's a girl. And we use a girl name and she uses the girl's bathroom. Isn't it something that we had to have a governor get some backbone and make some laws that we could do that? Because that's how crazy our nation is gone. You don't think we need revival? You don't think America needs saving? Our churches, I mentioned it before. But you go to the average church in America or a so-called church and listen to what they say salvation is. And then you go there and after you hear the preaching, there's no invitation. There's not even an invitation to be saved. There's not even an invitation. Preaching is to make a decision, to draw men and women to decide to do something for Jesus Christ and give them an opportunity to do it. That's just too old-fashioned, right? No, we're going to keep doing that. Amen and amen. I believe you may not think this, but Jesus would preach. And when he said, "Suffer not the little children to come unto me," that was an invitation. Don't you dare stop, young people. Don't you dare stop. Why? Because the Pharisee said, "Don't you go down there. Somebody might see you. Somebody might see you make a decision." Well, glory to God. Maybe somebody else would step out and go if you would go. Maybe if you just surrendered to God, you say, well, our young people have given us an example, haven't they? To get right with God. To get some things out of their life. Wouldn't it be great? Listen, some of them said, I'm going to love my parents. I'm going to go be obedient to my parents. Some of them made all these different decisions that we as parents can say amen to. But how about if a parent made the decision, I'm going to be the kind of parent I ought to be. I'm going to be the kind of parent that reads the Bible in the home. I'm going to be the kind of parent that lives an example before my young people that is God honoring. How about if we made some decisions just about our homes and just about our lives? Say, preacher, he says, for the hurt of the daughters in verse 21 of my people am I hurt. Listen, I hurt this morning. I hurt this morning because I look at a nation and we just clip on like there's no problems. I hurt this morning as the pastor of our church because I know there's people hurting, but you don't want to identify that you have a problem and that you need, it's a spiritual one between you and God that you need to get right. Not that you're not saved. I'm looking out at a group of people that I believe know for sure that Jesus, the Son of God, the only begotten, came from heaven, died and gave himself to bleed and to die on a cruel, rugged cross and then rose again the third day in power and in might that he might be able to purchase salvation for every one of us in this room. And if you would simply put your faith and trust, many of you have, put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, you're saved and on your way to heaven. But you're still here. Sometimes we believe our salvation is like what should happen is as soon as we get saved, we appear in heaven because that's the end of it. That's not how it works. He left us here to be a witness. Hey, parents, you're here to be a witness to your children. Children, you're here to be a witness to your friends. We're all here to be a witness. Some of you are here to be a witness to your coworker. And you stand and you work and you walk around them on a daily basis, and we think, surely they wouldn't want me to witness to them. See, the people in this story that needed to be saved, they were hungry. I preached this week to a group of preachers what Pastor Carter's preached every week, all his life, that every man, woman, boy, and child is born with a hunger or a hole in their heart that only God can fill. And every one of them are looking for something, but they don't know what that something is. And they desperately need someone to tell them where to get it. When they look at you, and they, a lot of times your lifestyle may witness of how what God has done for you, but it would be so much better that you would go past just living for God and be a mouthpiece for God and say, hey, yeah, the reason I live this way, I wouldn't be able to do this if I didn't have Jesus living in the inside of me. There's no good in me except for Jesus. What a witness it would be if we would just live in such a way. But not just live, but we would be witness in such a way. I told those folks, I said, boy, there's a hunger inside of every person who's lost. Just like these folks. These people had not eaten. They couldn't plant. They couldn't harvest. They couldn't do the things that they knew to do because they were besieged. Do you know who besieges people? Keeps them busy, keeps them away from church. The devil and his, minions, they're after people to hold on to them on a daily basis. I mean, they're trying to hold people. Every time that you would go to witness to somebody, you're working up the courage. Always, it seems like something happens. Somebody comes in. Right about the time you build up enough courage to be a witness, somebody comes in and steals them away from you. Or they get a cell phone, or they get a text, or some kind of bill comes in on their phone, and they're like depressed all of a sudden. You think that's not just, it doesn't just happen. It's because the devil doesn't want to lose them. The devil wants to keep them lost and on their way to hell. Sometimes we're going to have to be a bold witness. Sometimes we're going to have to move past our comfortable place that we like to be and just say, listen, to everybody in here, I just wanted to tell everybody that Jesus saved me. And it's what a blessing it is. You say, would you stand up and do that? Man, I'm so glad to do that. But you know what you know why we don't do that sometimes? Because we'd have to live like we were saved after we did it. We'd have to live it after we told everybody. You know what hurts more people is sometimes we get up and say it and then live like they do. And they say, well, whatever they got, I don't want because I live just like they do. That's why we preach on the sin. That's why we preach on clean living. Not legalistic. You don't have to live clean to be saved. But once you get saved, you ought to live clean. Because of who is in you, who purchased you, who owns you. Jesus Christ, when he bought me with a price, has every right to do whatever he wants with his purchased possession. Amen and amen. He goes on here and he goes to this and he says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Do you know, we think about this. Sometimes I don't know where you're at. I'm just going to say this. This isn't for the preachers in the room, but just so all of you know where I stand on this thing. There's a group of people right now calling themselves recovering fundamentalists. And I mean, it's pretty old. That's why I decided to touch it. I'm not after them. I just want to make sure none of you start recovering. Why would I recover from the fundamentals of the faith? Why would I recover from the Word of God? Why would I need to heal from the pure, unadulterated Word of Almighty God? Why would I need to heal from that? It's what brings me healing. Listen, I'm going to tell you today, when you say I'm recovering fundamentalist, you're saying I'm recovering from the healing touch of Almighty God. I'm recovering from the balm of Gilead. I'm leaving my physician because he's too good. I need somebody that's not doesn't know what they're doing. I went down to Cody's this week. And Cody said, there's very few mechanics left in the world. Most of them are just part changers. Do you know a mechanic can listen to your car, say, let me drive it, and when they come back, they can say, this is the problem, and they'll change the part that's broken. We've come to a place now where we'll say, we'll start with this, and we'll change that, and we'll change this, and we'll change this, and then somewhere after 10 parts, I fixed it. The sad part is that's how some of the physicians are in the hospital. They're not doctors either. They just change parts. Let's try this, and we'll try this, and we'll try this. But you know what the blessing of the Christian is? We don't have a physician like that. We have a high priest that wasn't. He's not like any high priest in the Bible. He's a high priest that, he was ordained of God. He's not in the lineage of Levi. He's in the lineage of God. He came down and shed his blood and went to heaven and walked into a tabernacle not made with hands and made a blood sacrifice for you and me that we might have a healing balm of Gilead to heal us and save us. Not just to save us from our sins, but friend, to save us from ourselves. To give us a book to teach us how to live. To how to walk and how to talk and to be different. Be a peculiar people. And that doesn't mean strange. It means set apart. Different. Can I just beg you today, if you're here and you're a Christian this morning, you ought to desire to be a purchased possession that is peculiar. Amen. Different than anybody around you because you've been saved. If you're here and you're not saved, realize that there is a balm in Gilead. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the great physician, and everything that you are missing inside of yourself and that you think you need to have fulfilled and be healed from, he can heal it if you'll come to him and surrender yourself and say, I believe that Jesus died, that he rose again, and that he paid my price of hell, and that if I believe in him and trust him with my never dying soul, he'll never forsake me. He'll come and get me and take me to heaven. He'll love me and keep me, and he'll never lose me according to the scripture. If you're here and you're not saved, why don't you trust in the name above every name, the name of Jesus today and his finished work? Lastly, I'll say this. That's saved and unsaved. How about saved that need to repent? You're here today and you know that you've been saved and you've trusted God, but there is something between you and him. You know, the Bible has still got the truth in it. I want to read a scripture. Don't turn there. Malachi 4:2 says this. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stalls. You know, now, I'm an old country boy, and my father-in-law used to have veal calves, grow veal calves. And most people thought that that was a terrible thing, but a calf, every day, that calf was in a stall, couldn't get out of there, couldn't go nowhere and hurt himself. He was stalled up, and everybody would say, oh, look at that poor calf. But you know what happened to that calf every day? Every day he was fed. Because he decided to stay in that stall every day, we'd bring feed by and we'd feed him. Every day, if he needed medicine, we were there to give medicine. Every day he was taken care of. You know what? You may think, boy, I could never accept Jesus. I could never live according to the word of God. When God talks about how precious it is, he says, it's just like being a stalled calf. Being in there going, my master's going to be here soon to bring me food. My master's going to be here soon to take care of me. My master's going to be here soon to clean up after me. My master's going to be here soon to take care of me. Hey folks, I don't know about you. You may think, boy, I couldn't be crowded in. I couldn't be hemmed up with all those rules and regulations. Listen, I'm going to tell you, being stalled up ain't so bad. I'm here to tell you today that being part of God's family and living where he wants me to live and do what he wants me to do and eat what he wants me to eat, it ain't so bad. In fact, one day when I stand before him, being in a stall is the place to be. I realize if I stay in that stall, one day I might hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. I've realized being in the stall is the will of God for my life. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Listen, you saw Wednesday night if you were here. I'm from the Eastern Shore. Pastor Carter talked about Georgia, God's country. Listen, I love Florida, but y'all been hating it too. It's hot here. Right? I'm just telling you. All these young people, I'm from the Eastern Shore. We say, woo! Listen, I wouldn't give you a nickel if you don't care about where you came from. But I'm just here to tell you, listen, I wouldn't go back there. I wouldn't go back there for nothing. Because this is the place that God has boxed in for me. This is the place that God said, this is the will of God. This is my living place. This is my dying place. This is where God is. Listen, this is where he's chosen to come by and feed me, to keep me, to stall me. Hey, you know, if you feel that way about your church, it's awful hard to start jumping churches. This is the place God's put me. You feel that way about your service? This bus route's where God put me. This Sunday school class is where God put me. This nursery changing diapers is where God put me. I'll just stay right here until it comes or until he moves me. Hey, folks, this morning, if you're here and there's a place of repent, maybe you need to come back to God and say, God, I got out of the stall. Would you let me get back in? God, I got away from you because I thought I needed room to run. But what I really need is your protection and help. I need to be in the place you want me to be. Folks, this morning, in God's will is the greatest place to be. We preach that to our young people, and many surrendered to it. Wouldn't it be great if our older folks decided, I'll do God's will. I'll stay in his place. I'll turn back to him and answer his call. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, please don't leave this place without walking this aisle. We'll give an old-fashioned invitation. I even preached about it this morning. An invitation is simply, we invite you to come down and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved and know for sure that heaven will be your home because of what Jesus did on Calvary. If you're here this morning and you're saved and on your way to heaven, boy, what haven't you stepped out? God's opened the door for you to move towards the place that he has for you. Why don't you make that next step? Maybe you're here and you need to join the church. You've been saved and baptized, but you moved over here in Florida and you need to join a good church, either by baptism or by letter. Why don't you do that this morning? If you're here this morning and you need to be baptized, I've been saved, but I feel like I'm stagnant, that there's no place of growth. Maybe you haven't taken the first step of obedience, which is baptism. Maybe you need to step out in obedience and let God begin to move again in your life. Amen. Whatever it is that God has asked you to do today, please don't say no to him. Say yes. Step out and come forward at the invitation. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes? We'll stand to our feet as the musicians come. I'm going to pray here. If you're here and you'd say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd like to know that. Would you pray for me, preacher? I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up and say, pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure I'm saved. Listen, we're not going to come to you. We just want to pray for you. Slip your hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Is there a hand, one anywhere, that'd say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I want to hold it up where I could see it so I can pray for you. Listen, if you're like that and you can't raise your hand, why don't you come at the invitation? Maybe you're here and you need to repent and come back to God. Maybe you ought to step out and come. I'm going to pray here that God would help you do whatever you need to do. You come after I pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I pray this morning that you'd help us to do that which you've asked us to do. Draw men unto yourselves. Draw the ladies to yourself, Lord. I pray if there's one that needs to be saved, don't let them leave. Holy Spirit, work on their heart right now. Help them to step out. Give them the courage to step out and come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot God, I come. I come.
Would you bow your head this morning with me and pray? If you're here this morning, you need to be saved. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed and nobody's looking but me and God, would you step out and come? This is that part of the invitation. You know that God is asking you to do something. If you don't know for sure that heaven will be your home for a Bible reason, would you step out and come and let us take a Bible? We have folks here ready to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home. There's been some that wanted to join our church. This is that invitation. You come now and join. By statement or by baptism, you step out and come this morning. As Brother Burt sings, you come and do what God has asked you to do.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched blind, sight rich as healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
If folks have come, maybe you still need to come. There are folks here at the altar. As in an attitude of prayer, if you're here and you're a Christian and you know for sure heaven is going to be your home, why don't you pray for the one that doesn't know that? Many of them are standing in their pew and they have no idea that you stepped out. Just like I did, Brother McNeese, at that church, I stepped out and I walked down an aisle and I got saved because of that invitation that was given. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed and folks are being dealt with, there's still time for you. Why don't you step out and come? Why don't you come while heads are bowed and folks are praying? They've already received Jesus Christ. They're praying for you to receive him this morning. Step out and come as Brother Burt sings.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
All right, we're going to let you be seated. We have some things to share with you.